Come on, give it up for our team, Faith Church. Come on, you can do better than that at every campus today. I love it. There ain't no portico. Thank you. We got some very talented people at our church, don't we? Yeah, I wanted to start that talk that way when we were in our creative meeting with Hunter and the guys, because so many times what we do is we allow the enemy to actually take our thoughts and take our words and actually poison other people. In fact, how many times have people offered you something that tasted terrible? This tastes horrible. Taste it. Raise your hand. Come on, all campuses. But then when it's good, they're like, no, I don't need you to taste test this. Come on, raise your hand with me, right? And within a matter of seconds, the guy was sending a Yelp out based on what somebody else said, the judgment that was going on. And really, the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. And so I find myself doing that sometimes as I look at certain things and I don't even mean to judge it. I just judge it. I put my dog in a lot of hunts. Am I the only one that does this, right? Okay, so this week, you know, everybody knows so much about submarines all of a sudden, right? Everybody's like, well, what happened was, you know, you put a Coke can on a stove and then you heat up the Coke can and you put it in water and that's exactly what happened to them. Well, we don't really know. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I know for sure my next door neighbor has never even been in a submarine. Can I get an amen? I find people having all kinds of conversations about stuff and then people just make stuff up. While I was preparing for this, even today, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said that, I won't say the company, but a company came out to his house to do some repairs. And the guy came in, and he saw that my friend was a personal trainer. He said, oh, you're a personal trainer. He said, yeah. I said, this guy was probably 300 pounds, and he said, I used to be a Navy SEAL. And he starts telling him this story, and then he tells my friend the age that he was, and then that he is now, and my friend, just doing math in his head, immediately knew you would have been 7. Come on, somebody, ought to help me here. This story. And then he says, hey, you know, have you ever found a person that was really a great liar, and you're like, tell me more. Come on, raise your hand. Goes, tell me more. And so he's agging on. He's like, tell me more. He said, what's the craziest thing that ever happened to you? He said, well, I was shot. I got shot right here in the sternum. And then after I immediately blacked out, and then I came back to myself. He's telling us the true story. Came back to myself, and then later they showed me a bullet, and you get shot in the sternum. It's very, very strong, and I've been shot with a 50 caliber. It's like, oh my gosh, these stories, and he's telling them as the truth. I'm here to tell you that some people make up some pretty crazy stories, right? But then we watch shows and we watch stories and then we do some fact checking and then we get on the Googles and then all of a sudden we're doing everything but what we need to do. We're putting our nose down a rabbit hole and it only causes us to be judgmental or a mental judge. Raise your hand if you know people already that you wish would have come to church today. Raise your hand if you're like, oh my gosh, yeah. Because we're always fed stuff. So we're watching television and they go, hey, come here, eat some of this, eat some of this. What do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And what do you think about the other? And so we're always being taste tested when the Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so what we're doing is we're taking our mind, we're taking our taste buds, and we're eating stuff that is now, get this, eating us. People are overwhelmed and mad and distracted and angry. And most of the time it's because they're arguing about stuff that really doesn't matter. We're not called to assess every situation. We're not called to diagnose every situation. And if you're not careful, I'll get you some scriptures in a minute, but you'll be judging things, especially if you're smart. Raise your hand if you're smart. That was smart of you. Come on, let's try it again. Come on, Florida. Raise your hand if you're smart, right? So my wife, she's super duper smart, very smart. But she's always figuring stuff out. We're like driving down the highway, and then they did this to the highway, and they did the other thing to the highway, and she's like, it would have been way smarter if they wouldn't have put the lane over here, and they should have checked with me before they did that. I'm like, Nicole, the highway department's not going to call you about this. But she's right, but how many of y'all understand we can't always take our brain power and try to figure out what's wrong. We need to take our mind, our will, and our emotions and try to talk about what's right. Eat the cake, not the bad food. I want a better clap than that at all campuses. Come on, I want a high school to go crazy today. So we find this out. The scripture for this is Matthew 7, verse 1. On the screen it says, do not, everybody shout it, every class, why? Like you had breakfast. Shout it again. Why? Do not judge, criticize, or condemn others so that you may not be judged, criticized, and condemned yourself. So in other words, sowing and reaping doesn't work just for giving, it works for giving judgment. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be, you will be judged and criticized and condemned in accordance with the measure that you use to deal to others. It'll be dealt to you again. Verse 3. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle in your brother's eye and you're not really aware of the big timber in your eye? So I brought these toothpicks up here, especially since we were at Cyborg's eating. And so we got, this is in our brother's eye. See that? And you go, oh my gosh, let me try to tell you why you shouldn't do that and why you should do this and why you should marry that person and why you shouldn't wear that after Labor Day and why. We go, let me get that out for you. I gotta get that. That's bad. And we wonder why our friends don't want to go to church. They don't want to go to church because they went to the wrong church. If you come to this church, you know that we're not pointing the finger at you this way. We're pointing at you this way. So we need to invite people to church. We need to bring them to church because church is the place that's giving the solution right now that says, eat this cake. Somebody ought to get excited this weekend about Jesus. I kind of like this toothpick. Anybody got a redneck relative that keeps one above their ear? Raise your hand if you've had it. Come on, I want to know who the rednecks are in here. Right? I'm going to keep it there in case I need it. Now I can't feel it. There's a big difference between this and this. God said we as Christ followers, that we're not supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to be loving people. And the Bible said that love is patient, love is kind, love is tenderhearted. That reminded me of the movie, remember? You is kind, you is lovely, you is... So you need to realize that we need to go back and do our first works over. For sure at the church, it should be a no judgment zone where we say, hey, everybody's welcome and everybody's loved. And just because you sin different than I sin doesn't mean that I should judge you and try to get it out. Yeah. Got to be careful. Look at your neighbor and say, be careful. Be careful. Judge it. Oftentimes, I think about stuff and I'm judging it even though I'm not talking about it. But on the inside, I'm going, they're feeding it to me. Comes up in my news feed, comes up on my TikTok, my Instagram, my Facebook. Anybody even got friends that like DM you 20,000 reels? Come on, somebody, because you know, I got a big church. Everybody's like, you got to see this. Every day I get 50,000 reels. I saw one today from a guy, and I'm like, dude, it's too many reels. I can't watch all these reels. Don't you have a job? But then when I send a reel, it's judgmental because I'll be like, nobody in my family chimed in. I'm like, hey guys, it's been an hour and nobody's put an LOL on what I sent you. That's hilarious that cat ate that dog. Come on, somebody, you understand? So I'm like, I'm judging this guy, but I'm doing the same thing. Florida, I assure you, people are still here in St. Louis. They're here. Verse 3, one more time, 7:3. For why do you stare from without at the very small particle that's in your brother's eye and do not become aware? Consider the beam of timber that's in your own eyes. Another scripture for this is found in 1 Corinthians 13:12. I put it on the screen for you so you can see it. It says, we don't see things clearly. We don't. You know, here's the deal. I watch Christian people do this, and I grew up very Christian. My dad was a preacher. My grandmother was a preacher. So I came from the side of the tracks that said, if something bad happens to you, that you did something wrong. If you have a miscarriage, well, you had a door open. If you had a break-in at your house, you had a door open. If your cat died, you had a door open. You had whatever it was, there was always this thing saying, and really it goes back to judgment. Because the more I know about God, he's a good God. Amen. And here's the fact. If God was actually going to bless me in accordance to my obedience, I'd be in trouble. I wouldn't even survive till tomorrow. I would be like the submarine now that I'm an expert about it. And when I hit that level of altitude and that level of pressure, I would implode. Here's what I found out about Jesus. His grace is sufficient for us. His love is overwhelming for us. And he forgives you even before you do it. I'm going to do stuff and you're going to do stuff in 2027 that's going to boggle your mind. In fact, you're judging people right now. Let's go there for a minute. Anybody ever judge people years ago, and then you wound up doing the same thing that they did, but now you're okay because it's just like, hey, I didn't start doing that till I had kids, but now that I got kids, I'm not filling in the blank for you. Come on, somebody. But I've done some stuff now where I'm like, I remember when I'm like, hey, so glad I'm not like them. Life's tough. If you're an expert, come on, give it up for all our Rev Bash students this week. They were in Florida doing it, getting ready to do it in St. Louis. And I want them to learn that you got to be careful passing judgment, because the very thing you think you're not going to do, I'm digging deep right now. Okay, so it might even be like being cool. Because remember when you were cool? Raise your hand if you're old enough to remember when you were cool. You're like, oh, look. Anybody like me, though, and you know your kids, they don't think you're cool. They don't think you ever were cool. You're like, how do you think me and your mama got together if we weren't cool? I was a bad motor scooter. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, I used to wiggle it just a little bit. Yeah, I always go too far in a sermon, but. Don't be judging me. So, you know, you're saying, I would never, ever wear pants, you know, shorts here, socks here, and Velcro shoes. You don't know what you're going to do when you got arthritis and you can't tie shoes and you bend over and you're, come on, somebody, you're fat. I know, anybody going to admit with me that you know where your fat is? I'll go on a hayride and I'll be like, I know where all my loose stuff is. Come on, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. So I'm just saying, be careful. When God said, judge not lest you be judged, with the measure you judge, it might be worse for you. Your parents might look cool to what you're going to look like. Oh, yeah, I went there. Come on. I'm just saying, be careful. That's why God was like, hey, don't put your dog in that hunt. You'll find yourself doing stuff, thinking ways that you don't think today. So we see through a glass darkly. Let's look at it one more time. 1 Corinthians 13:12. We do not see things clearly. We're squinting in fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright, and we'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us. God sees it. Judging alcoholics. Homeless people. Some of our teams Saturday, I on Instagram, if you saw it, I posted that they were in the city of St. Louis, and it was so hot today, literally you get out of your car and it feels like an oven. You're just like, if you leave your car in the parking lot too long, your seatbelt will be a branding iron. You could go get your cattle. Okay, so it is super hot, and they're out there giving water in care packages on the street, going into homeless areas, loving people. And here's the kicker. When you get inside some of the tents, they send me videos from inside these tents, and some of these people were veterans, and they had good jobs. And you say, well, you know, what happened? I don't know what happened, but I know that God sees it, and he sees us ministering with love and grace to people, and we don't know what happened to them to get them there, but we as the church, somebody ought to help us here in Florida. We got to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. We got to feed the homeless. We got to clothe the naked. We got to go to the prisoners if we're going to say that we're the followers of Jesus. Come on, somebody ought to give God good praise today. Come on, Royal Palm, West Palm. Matthew 7, verse 6. Here's how not to draw judgment. Do not give that which is holy or sacred things to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before hogs, lest they trample them with their feet and turn you and tear you into pieces. How not to draw judgment. Do you remember Joseph in the Bible? He had the coat of many colors. He had a great story about how that God was gonna raise him up and make him a person of influence, but he went and he told that story to his brothers. Guys, I just can't wait to be king. Oh man, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that and I'm gonna do the other. You can't tell everybody what God dropped in your heart, because what God dropped in your heart is for a due season, and all you're gonna do is draw judgment upon yourself, because the Bible did say with blessing comes persecution. So you can't tell everybody about what God's gonna do for you. I'm gonna be famous. You ain't gonna be famous. I'm gonna be rich. You just like us. You live in a trailer over here that's rented, shag carpet, and no indoor plumbing, and there's all these things that the enemy tries to make you actually get the air knocked out of you, because you're drawing, what you're doing is you're casting your pearls, Jesus said, before swine. So you just can't tell anybody about the Joseph story in your life. I'm gonna be married. Yeah, right. I'm gonna be happily married. And married people are like, yeah, right. What you're doing is you're drawing judgment. And then what you have to do, and I have to do, is say, hey, wait a minute. If God's gonna do it, he's gonna do it. I'm gonna put my vision board up, and I'm gonna get in my small group, because there are people, if you're in small groups, and you should be, and they start back again in a couple months. I was talking to a person this morning at our church in Florida, and they're in a small group with this motorcycle group. And they were talking about how they have the Bible and breakfast, or breakfast and the Bible. And so they go out on their bikes with their Bibles, and they go to breakfast, and they do a Bible study. And what they love is bringing new people in who don't know anything about Jesus, and then they start sharing the love of Jesus with them. Because a lot of these people, see, your friends, they say, I don't want to go to church. Why don't they want to go to church? Judgment. Because they watch some things happen where either people were hurt in church, or they say, oh, you know, if I go to church, you know, they just go. That's why I love Easter and Christmas. I always try to take our Easter and Christmas and change it a little bit, because I don't want people to think we only do one thing. It's like Jesus was a baby and they brought him gifts, and it's Christmas, and then that's Christmas. And then Jesus became an adult and he died. People are like, I don't see how they go back 52 times a year to hear the story that I can tell. So I like to bring relevant things and say, yes, we want to celebrate that, of course, and we want to address that, of course, but I believe that the biggest thing that people are looking for today is they're looking for real answers to the problems that they have, and if they can find those solutions at church, and it makes their Monday better because of what they learn on Sunday, come on, Florida. So does that make sense to you? Don't draw judgment. Me and Nicole had lunch with a guy this week. He owns a bunch of television networks. Very, 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 very wealthy man. He rolled up to lunch in this Bentley, and no judgment here. I have no problem with that. I'm just saying, as we continue to talk about things, and he wasn't bragging at all, but I know all the different things that this guy has and so on. And then he began to talk a little bit about where he came from nothing. And then he just began to cry about the goodness of God and the fact that he prioritizes God. And much like, you know, Hobby Lobby, the Green family, I don't know if you know this, but they started the history of the Bible, and they actually give billions of dollars away. Hobby Lobby gives billions of dollars to religious foundations such as Oral Roberts University. They helped build Church of the Highlands, because Mr. Green said, I don't own Hobby Lobby. I'm a steward of Hobby Lobby. And if my kids and my grandkids want to work here, it's not going to be because of nepotism. It'll be because you brought value to Hobby Lobby. Does that make sense? So my point is that when this guy rolled up, I'm not judging him, but we got into the conversation about people judging him. Here's what I want you to know. When God does bless you, and he will, if you don't grow weary in well-doing, you're faithfully tithing, you're obedient to the heavenly calling, when that happens, you will get blessed. And when you get blessed, you have to get hardened to difficulty and realize that with blessing comes persecution. And you really have to develop an insulation around your heart, not a hard heart, but an insulation to go, I'm not going to allow their judgment to affect me. And anywhere I can, I'm going to try. See if this makes sense. To not draw judgment by trying to stay in the middle of the road. By that I mean, at work, you don't need to go back in and vent to all your friends at work about what you think politically, about what you think about finances, about what you think about whatever. You don't have to tell everybody what you think. Again, Florida, I promise you, they're still here. Because you don't need to tell everybody what you think, because automatically you cut off 50% of the people, because not everybody thinks like you think. And that's a good thing. It makes the world a better place when everybody doesn't think the same, okay? But of course, we think we're right. Raise your hand if you think I am right. I mean, that's for sure. That's a given. Raise your hand again, you little liar, right? You know you're right. But you need people that say iron sharpens iron. So when your main thing in life is you just love on people. And that's part of the reason why God doesn't want us judging, because when you judge, you get judged back. But you don't get judged back just a little bit. You get good measure, pressed down, shaken together. In fact, you could give this much judgment away and harvest could be this big. And you can go, why is everybody picking on me? Because you've sowed so much of that. I do it. I don't talk about people in front of their face. Not rude. I'll wait till they leave. Joel Osteen would never tell you this stuff. But I find myself giving my opinion about something or somebody, and the Lord's dealing with me going, why don't you say in front of them? Let them hear what you got to say. I'm like, that's his way of going, this is none of your business, and all you're doing is sowing that, and you're going to reap that, big boy. Good measure, pressed down. Because it hurts when people talk bad about you, even when it's not bad, just like little things. It's just the truth. It's the truth that I've picked up weight. I turned 50, I wanted to be in the best shape of my life, and I did it. But after 50, that goal, now that 53 years later in COVID, come on, somebody, and these times are tough. Somebody ought to help me right now. And I was home alone, and I found out about Uber Eats. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. And then the air fryer. First, it was the microwave. Remember when the microwave first came out? Come on, if you're old, remember the microwave? And your friends introduced you to fruit pies. You put fruit pies in the microwave. Raise your hand. Heat them up. Put ice cream in there. If you don't know anything about that, I'm sorry I told you. That's horrible, but it's unbelievable. And then you got the air fryer coming in, so I can have hot pies over here, and I can have double. We don't just have one air fryer. We got a double air fryer, to which my daughter-in-law told me how to make a recipe that'll make an unbelievable chicken. You won't even believe it. It's unbelievable. And I just find myself eating, going to get my maternity pants. In fact, these pants that I have on right now are stretchy pants. They stretch. They look like jeans. They're not real jeans. These are fake jeans. Somebody ought to help. These are elastic jeans. I can be a 32 or a 38. These jeans have no judgment. They're like, go ahead, pastor. You can still fit in your pants. There's no laying down and zipping them up. I've done that, and that hurts my dignity. Somebody ought to go with me today. These pants here, I feel like a boss whether I've overate or I didn't overeat right now. But I'm just starting this story to tell you right now that I'm a little heavy. Somebody sent recently, a good friend of mine, sent a text to his wife, he thought, but he sent it to me. And he said, he's really pretty thick right now, but he looks like he might be a little leaning down since last month. And I don't feel bad, it's true. The truth hurts though, come on somebody. And when he sent it, you ever got a text and you didn't know whether you should reply back and say, hey, you sent it, or just pretend you never got it? Anybody got that? If you ain't got that text, you don't have a lot of friends. Ain't nobody even, they don't even know who you are. Come on, raise your hand if you got that text. You're like, do I pretend I didn't see that? I'm going. So I forget what I said, but I just came back like something like, I'm sure you meant to send this to your wife, but this is very true, and I'm working on it or whatever. And he's like, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I feel so bad. Hey, it's no big deal, bro. I got it. You know, it's just causing me to be depressed. I'm going to eat a lot of ice cream again tonight because I feel bad. But my whole point to try to get you laughing about this is I've done the same thing. I watch a video and go, oh, man, Garth Brooks picked up weight for sure. Him and Trisha, they've been eating a lot. You don't like this sermon, I can tell. You know, we'll do something different next week. Just bear with me. Yeah, I feel like this is the Lord. I mean, not all of it, but some of it was the Lord. This scripture was the Lord. Come on. See, the rest, this is me. But don't be judging me. Come on, you can't judge me. You ain't never been up here. If you tried to preach, people would be bored. Yeah, I'll grab it. But I don't like being judged. And that person did me. They're precious, super precious. They love me and I love them. The truth hurts. So a couple points. Number one, self-reflection and humility. From Matthew 7, Jesus is saying, don't judge people with the same measure you judge, you'll be judged again. So Jesus is saying, hey, maybe you need to reflect on this before you open your mouth about it. And it takes humility to go, I don't think I know all the answers, because we tend to know a lot. I know quite a bit. You know, pastor a lot of people, seen a lot, heard a lot, predisposed to make quick judgments. I can talk to you 2 minutes, got you pegged, got you pinned. I'm a people expert. It's what I do, guys. But I have to try to unwire that and go, maybe this is different. Try to hear it. Maybe they really were on the ground floor of ground zero at when 9/11 happened. Come on, somebody. And they brought people out. And maybe they were there. Come to find out, they were born 2 years after the event. But here's the kicker. You got to be a better listener. I find myself being massive, especially with Nicole, massive interrupter. She'd be telling me a story 2 seconds into the story about something we ought to change or something we ought to do, and I'm already going, yeah, but, because I already know what she's going to say. I never went to college. She did. I don't have any degrees. She does. And you know she's smart. She married me. Come on, go with me. I didn't make it. The girl's smart. Some of y'all looking at me mean. I was kidding. I didn't mean it. So the Lord will tell me, could you not interrupt her? And if he doesn't tell me, she will. She'll say, hey, before you tell me what I'm getting ready to tell you that you don't know I'm going to tell you, could you at least wait and listen to what I'm going to tell you? And I go, yeah, but what I was wanting to do was address this item now. Can you possibly maybe write this stuff down? And then we'll get back to it in a minute because I don't feel like you're listening. Well, no, of course I'm not listening because I'm reloading to shoot back to you because I'm not listening. I'm almost done. I got a minute 25 according to the clock to actually hit my legal time to get paid. It's confused people to think I'm on the clock. I'm not. You're going to have to listen a little harder. I'm going to give you 5 more minutes. So we interrupt, we're judging a situation before we hear it. And then a lot of times when I do hear what Nicole has to say, I go, oh, you're right. She texted me several things the last couple days. Blah, 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 blah. You're right. Today she was somewhere and she texted me an idea for something we could do at the church better. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Instead of usually I'm defensive and go, well, you know, we know what we're doing. And then they go, you know, we'll think about it. Point two. Letting it sit in with you a little bit. Removing the plank out of your own eye would be point two. I got a really big plank in my eye when it comes to a lot of things. And the fact is, none of us really know much about submarines, if we're honest. Except the Beatles had a song. Come on, somebody. But because of our friends on Facebook, we were experts about a lot of things. From ivermectin to colon cleanse. You name it. You name it. We just got it. And so we got to make sure we're removing that plank for our eye. Because here's what it happens as you get older. How many of y'all plan on getting older? Raise your hand. As you get older, you're going to get more cynical. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. 4th of July is coming up at the church here in St. Louis. They're having this massive event you got to go to. It's incredible. In Florida there at RPC, we're actually taking a team of people and going out to this venue and watching the city there do it. And we're all hanging out together in Florida as a church family. It's really cool. But old cynical people go, I'm not going on the 4th. I've already seen that. You know, it's going to be big old red and white and blue and you got to play that stupid song. If tomorrow everything was going to work for all my life and I had to start again within my children, my wife, everything but the lucky stars, and living there today, the pageant's had freedom, but I can't take that away. I'm proud to be an American. I done heard that. Don't need to go there and fight the traffic. I'll sit here, right here, and most moan. You know, I got my hot pocket over here, got 2 air fryers, and I can watch it on TV. Don't you want to be with people? No, can't stand people. I'm telling you right now, the best thing you can do is stay away from people. They're crazy. This is why people don't want to invite you over for the holiday. This is why people don't invite you to go mini golfing anymore. This is why the kids go, hey, you know, yeah, we'll come over for a little bit. No, we'll come to your house. No, we'll come over to your house. So we can leave when we want, when you start making us listen to the commentary about something that what we do is we alienate and we separate because we're always judging. Could it be, point three, that the golden rule of love is the greatest rule for life? Could it be to love your neighbor as yourself would actually make you happy? Could it be that judging stuff and giving people the stinky eye people do that in church. Have you ever seen that? People do that in church? My dad's church, I'll stop after this. These two were there. And my dad had a great church of about 180 people. And everybody pretty much thought the same. And they all did kind of the same thing. And they were really good people. And they knew the word. They could quote the word. We didn't really get a lot of people saved. We didn't do any evangelism. There wasn't much, there was no visitors on Easter, Christmas, because if they did come, my dad would be like, there's a visitor in here looking at me funny. That tends to take people out of the church. Somebody ought to go. I mean, I promise you, this is what my dad would say. You never had any visitors. Right, Lena? Am I telling the truth? I'd invite people to church, but I'd be like, I don't invite people to church. My dad's going to say, you know, people looking at him funny or do something weird and preach for 3 hours. I don't even know where I'm going with this story anymore. Seriously, don't judge me. I'm having a moment. I don't know. Oh, I know. When we did get people saved, they started coming to church. You guys remember this? We started getting new people coming in because we went on television. My dad went on to be with the Lord. We started loving people and preaching relevant messages. And again, no dude, how many of y'all know I love my dad? If you're a first-time visitor, please understand, no disrespect. I adore this guy to a fault. It's jacked up, actually. My wife said, yeah. When we went on dates, we went together. I'm like, you're marrying me and my dad, the whole family. And when my dad dies, he's gone. But right now, we go into Velvet Freezer getting ice cream together. So now, when people were coming into our church, not everybody, but some of them would look at people like, you see that girl's skirt? Her skirt is up to here. She's walking into the front row. I'm like, I hate to embarrass you guys, but her name's Nicole, and I'm probably going to marry her. Somebody ought to have it. I'm telling you the truth right now. I'm telling you. That's what happened. I'm just telling you. I'll tell you right now, when I saw her in the skirt, I said, I'll get her saved. Somebody ought to shout at me. I tell you, come to find out, we went on a date and she was saved. I was like, thank you, God. But people give you the eye. I got a little video that I think is kind of funny about it. Watch this dog. It's cute. It's a wrong slide. No judgment. Let's try it again. We'll edit this out. It's just all over again. I want to edit that because it'd be good. Ready? Is that dog hilarious? Come on, give it up for that dog. That dog, like. I mean, even the dog got judgmental issues. But listen, why don't you stand up with me? All the campuses, nobody leaving. We'll judge you. We'll sit you right down. I want to ask you a question as I pray for you. Royal Palm, Shiloh, the meeting place of God right there. How many of y'all have seen church people and all people, even including you, because you and I are people, kind of try to take the speck out of somebody's eye while their eyes are like this? Raise your hand. Come on, every campus, let's try it again. Not that we shouldn't use good judgment. Not that we shouldn't, you know, use our brain. But I think it's very easy, for me at least, to slide right over in a judgmental attitude. And I don't want to be that way. Sometimes when I'm preaching, it's very hard because you're spinning. By the way, if you're watching, a minute ago when I was talking about my dad, I even paused myself, right, and said, hey, just so you know, if you don't know me, I adore my dad. It was to a fault, messed up, because if it's your first time, you're like, man, I can't believe it. Disrespect, his father passed on, and look the way he talks about him. No, man, so you could, and I understand, you could judge me very easily while I'm in, the Bible said, in a multitude of words, there are sins. You could judge me and say that, oh, man, he didn't love his dad. But I'm going to tell you, that would be a wrong judgment. And I think that a lot of times when we judge, we see through a glass darkly, and we judge people and even their behaviors and the way they look. But if we walked a while with them, we'd love them, and we might even understand a little bit. I'm not condoning anybody's actions. I'm just saying that it's not our job to condemn them. Jesus came to the woman with the issue there at the well. She had this sexual problem of promiscuity, and all the religious people were like, man, you ought to kill her. And Jesus said, hey, listen. And he starts writing in the sand, and all of a sudden everybody left. And we can only suppose that he was writing stuff like, you know, the Maui Hilton, February the 4th, Motel 6, East St. Louis, January 30th. We don't know what he was writing, but we know that everybody left. Jesus looked up and he said, where are your accusers? She said, they're all gone, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Then he said these words that are important. Go and sin no more. And the only way you can go and sin no more really is just being in a Christ-centered community like this right now. In a church that fits your needs. There's a lot of great churches here and in Palm Beach County, but it's got to be the church that God called you to be at. And that's why we got to serve at church and be at church and love the church and be ready for new people that come in, because every weekend we should be inviting people and bringing people to church. We should be baptizing people and dedicating babies and changing lives, because there's too much of this going on and there needs to be a lot more love going on. Okay? Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Pray this prayer with me out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, forgive me, Lord, for all the judgment I have passed upon others as of my act of my own will. From today forward, this weekend, I decree and declare that I'll never be the same again. I'm going to keep breaking the habit of being judgmental, and I'm going to embrace the love of God and love on people a lot more. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. Did you enjoy that today? Was it good? We had fun, didn't we?